Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hot Mic here live on the Outlaw Nation channel. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm the Outlaw, John Rocha, joined as always by the man who's dropping scoops all over the place this week, the Ann Snyder himself, Jeff Snyder. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good, Johnny. I've calmed down a little, but not all the way.
Oh, my God. There it is. We got so much to talk about today. We got so much happening in the world of entertainment. You know, we like to talk about the main big things. We also like to talk a little bit about the rumors, also walk that line a little bit and get in some controversial topics as well. We'll get into all of that as we go along. Here's what I remind you all to remember: the Streamlabs and the Super Chats are open. Send in your support as we go along here. There's already one that dropped here from Travis Earl who said, Jeff, you were getting all the scoops this week. When does the new website drop? Yeah, Jeff, you've got a new website coming. You've been teasing it for a while now. When is this thing dropping?
Right. I would love to flip the switch on Monday morning, believe me. it's really just, you know, you basically have to launch a website with like a full slate of articles, right?
Yes, you do.
You know, so you got to get 12 stories or whatever in the system. Right. Ready to go so that when you flip the switch, there's stuff for people to read. So right now it's just been about sort of stockpiling those stories and things that are a little bit evergreen, because if it's just news, well, you know, by the time on Monday that you read it, this is 4-day old news.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, calling in some favors and doing some other stuff like that. But it's coming.
That's funny. My phone hasn't rang once. Interesting. Okay. Well, I wish you the best on this website for sure, Jeff. We'll see.
Contributing, I'm sure we'll find a place.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you better. Nancy Mallory says, is it possible that Kiki Land's critical role in Don't Worry, Darling got reduced because of racism? There's talk online that she and the other people of color actors were only diversity hires and were not invited to the premiere events. I have not heard that. I did not consider that. But of course, when I was watching the movie, I did feel her role was reduced, but Kiki also was the actress who replaced another actress, I believe, Jeff, who was in that role in the movie. So that role was probably going to be cut down no matter who was in that role. That being said, I didn't know that these actors of color were not invited because Asif Ali was there. So I don't know. I think just the main cast was there, right?
I don't know. I mean, that doesn't, like, it sounds weird that they weren't invited to the premiere, if that is in fact true.
Yeah.
Had scheduling conflicts and that's why they couldn't attend or whatever. But no, do I think that Olivia Wilde is in the editing room cackling with her fellow racist editor being like, let's cut all the black people that we cast in this movie. Like, what? No, I don't think that that has anything to do with racism. I think it's a function of, this is her character. What do we need from this character? All we really need to know is that she offs herself.
Yeah.
I would have loved a whole bunch of backstory about what brought her to that decision.
Yeah.
But really, she's a plot device. That's what it is.
Yeah. Sadly.
So a movie set in, like, you know, the 50s idyllic suburbia, and you know, there weren't a lot of black people living in the suburbs or whatever in those communities back then. So maybe that's why it's a very largely white cast. Yeah, I don't buy into the racism.
Yeah, and Gemma Chan was there at these premiere events as well. So I think they just invited the main cast that they could. It was somewhat of a diverse cast there, but Kiki Layne not being invited, I think I'd have to hear from Kiki Layne saying that she wasn't invited or there wasn't anything going on. That, I think, would bother me because Kiki Layne is a name in the acting circles. So as much as an Asif Ali or Nick Kroll is a name, Kiki Layne is a name. So it would surprise me that she wasn't invited.
White actors get cut from movies all the time.
Yeah. Like,
this is the thing, guys. When you're...
Again, Lena Headey was just cut out of a film. Yeah, yeah.
When you're hiring more black executives, Latino executives, that means eventually you're going to have to lay off or fire more black or Latino executives. The same thing with actors. We're hiring more black actors and stuff like that. And eventually, eventually a creative decision presents itself in the editing room where it's like, we got to cut some people.
Which is not a bad thing, because having more opportunities and then having it become a commonplace that the same things happen to white actors happen to people of color actors because we have so many roles, that's a good thing.
Yeah, if you didn't look spoil at anything, Travis Earl, so don't worry about it, okay? Yeah. It's in the trailer. You see somebody jumping.
Give me a break, Travis. If you haven't seen it by now, I don't
know. Incident. But anyways, we're here to talk about Marvel, John. We're here to talk about Marvel.
All right, let's break it down. The first story here, the way Jeff and I like to do it, we each take turns dropping stories. So go ahead, Jeff. What's the big Marvel deal?
We've got a whole bunch of big Marvel things here. For starters, Bassem Tariq has been fired.
Yes.
Of Blink. I mean, he can put out all the statements he wants. Thank you so much. You know, it was great working with everybody, but they took the keys away from him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it just wasn't working, you know, from, so again, to back it up.
Yeah.
Blade production was, I guess, supposed to start in November.
Yeah.
And I got a tip a few days ago that, you know, that there was, all was not right in the Marvel kingdom, mm-hmm. which, you know, it very rarely is. I mean, how many fucking directors have come and gone from this? And it's like way more than any other studio, I would say. And that is part of their process, mm-hmm. Where directors just aren't as, it's so funny how we stress about who's going to direct these movies. Like, they're not that important. Like, these movies are fucking storyboarded basically by the time you get there. And even when it's like, when he leaves with a quote where it's like, well, you know, we assembled a great cast and crew. I look forward to seeing where the next director takes the movie. Like, you would think that, you know, where they're taking the movie. You were going to, you're about to make this movie in 2 months.
Yeah.
If it's, we're going to see where they take it, they need, you're talking about a new script basically. Yeah. Talking about a page one rewrite or whatever the hell it is. I'd heard that it was that guy, what was it? Bo DiMaio. Yeah, Bo DiMaio. I heard that he was coming on to do a pass on the script.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I call, you know, Marvel, as one does.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, I hear this happened. What's the deal? So later that night, you know, I wasn't gonna, you know, call him. Hey, you know, I called you 10 minutes ago. Where's the answer? Right. I let things play out. I think I have a nice relationship with Marvel. Yeah, I've lost Marvel stories and been upset about it, but like, you know,
it's the game.
They're all high stakes.
Yeah, it's the game.
But I, you know, in the scheme of things, I think I have a pretty good relationship with Marvel. And if they say, hey, this is something that's too sensitive to report, like I'm pretty respectful.
Okay.
That respect was not reciprocated this week. And for fucked up reasons too. Like, so, you know, when I call, they're like, okay, well, who are you calling on behalf of? Right. Yeah. Because I write for a whole bunch of places and I can't, you know, I didn't say the Ankler because mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that the Ankler is going to send out a breaking newsletter.
Right.
Whenever
right.
the story is ready to pop.
Yeah.
So first of all, I didn't even bring it to the Ankler until I know that it's true. Mm-hmm. Right. Until I have it confirmed.
You have to vet it. Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. But there's other places that I drop scoops. It's not just the Ankler, and I'm not even going to reveal those places. Some of these, my stories don't run with my name on them. You don't even know it's me. No fingerprints whatsoever. I don't even have to write the story sometimes. I just take the money, okay? Because I'm a fucking mercenary these days, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Just pay me. So, you know, so then I get a text that's basically from my Marvel person.
Yes.
Sorry. Like, you know, there was someone else was on it. You know, we'd gotten other calls.
Right.
And so I check online. I don't see anything. Like, there's nothing in my Gmail. There's nothing on Twitter. Like, this is about to pop. And right. and I guess one of my fans, one of my buddies said, Boris is teasing something on Twitter.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was him. So I tweeted it immediately. Don't even like, I just went with what I'd heard.
Yeah.
Which was the director is fired. And then sure enough, you know, Boris came in with a full story 3 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And what pisses me off, it's one thing if like, okay, you want to go with the proven, the hometown trade and Boris, sure. Something like that. I get it.
Right.
But like, at least be a better actor. don't give them quotes. Like, because he had full quotes in there.
Right.
So that means that this was all arranged and organized ahead of time. They
yes. fucking
handed him everything on a silver platter. But mm-hmm. if you are running CorpCom for Marvel and you have someone like Jeff Snyder, right, yeah. who's a fucking nutcase, right, you don't know what sure. this guy's gonna do.
Sure.
Like, why wouldn't you just say, okay, Jeff, you know, you and Boris can both go with it in the morning? Or
right.
even if it's like, you know what, Jeff, this story's about to break. We can't control it any longer. You know, it's gonna break in an hour.
Right.
So you have an hour to find a home for this story, whether it's the Ankler or some other website or whatever, but at least then it's fair.
Right.
If I can't find an outlet for it, so be it. Maybe I put it on Twitter. Maybe I put it on the insider.blogspot.com. Maybe I put it on Below the Line.
Sure.
Because my site hasn't launched yet. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Hollywood Reporter got this story with the quotes is a fucking slap in the face.
Okay.
And when I went to Marvel and I was pretty heated. I mean, again, have a pretty good relationship with them and with their, you know, point of contact. And I was just like, this is not fucking cool. And it was like, you know, well, we don't know, you know, who you're writing for. We didn't know where the story was going to wind up. And it's like, I explicitly told you beforehand that I would be transparent with you and let you know where the story is going to go.
Right.
So it's like, is it about the outlet at the end of the reporter's name, or is it about the fucking reporter? Mm-hmm. Like, do you trust me, or do you trust that whatever outlet I'm writing for? Because it's like, I told Marvel this. I go, if I started a website called smellyfarts.com.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. And it's, okay, well, now I'm Jeff Snyder from smellyfarts.com calling. You know, now you know where the quotes would have gone. Would you have given it to me then? Like, don't, just fucking don't lie.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're going to fuck a reporter over, at least call him and be like, you know what, Jeff, we had to give this to the Hollywood Reporter, but we've got something else. We've got, oh, I don't know, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes announcement with the lead in that. We'll give that to you tomorrow. There's nothing like that. So if that's the way you want to play it, where you're going to fuck me over, lie about it, we're going to get into some shit.
Okay.
We're going to get into some shit today, right now.
What? Today, right now? What are you getting into?
So this guy, John Rocha, tweeted this out an hour ago, which completely blew my mind. Johnny, oh my God. So maybe it's a personality thing all in the game. I don't give a fuck if Marvel likes my personality or not. I don't care if they like the outlet that I write for. I'm a reporter, and I'm asking you for the truth. If you don't want to give me the truth, guess what? I don't fucking need you.
Wait, wait, wait. Are you breaking news right now? Are you going to break some Marvel news?
Okay. I'm about to.
Here we
But I don't need Marvel's permission to break the fucking truth, okay? You don't want to answer me? You don't want to play ball? I won't call you again.
Here we go.
And then we'll fucking see how it goes over when Marvel news, like right now, is about to start dropping, and the bosses are like, well, did anybody call? And no, they didn't. So here's the deal, okay? I got to be very careful how I phrase this.
Okay.
Marvel has denied what I am about to tell you.
Okay.
So, and that's a matter of timing. Is it that I'm too early or am I too late? So the deal is that multiple sources have indicated that Harrison Ford either is or was the studio's top choice to star in the Thunderbolts movie.
Wow.
Okay. As General Ross himself.
Right. To replace William Hurt.
Because William Hurt passed away.
Yes.
So Marvel said, that's not true. When I say, oh, I've heard Harrison Ford has been cast in Thunderbolts, they say, that's not true.
Okay.
So let's be clear about that right now. Harrison Ford has not been cast in the movie.
Marvel is denying that Harrison Ford was involved at any point.
Cast in the movie at this point.
Okay.
The question is, am I early because, hey, we're still trying to work out a deal with Harrison Ford, or am I late and they actually did offer it to Harrison Ford and he turned it down? Why would he turn it down? I imagine it's, do I really want to take over a role from my pal William Hurt? You know, did he turn it
contemporaries
down? Out of respect for the memory of his friend William Hurt. I think that is a real possibility and a real concern for probably any actor of that age. You know, Harrison Ford may be like, listen, if I'm going to come into the MCU, I want to be playing a character that I originate, not, you know, taking, you know, over another actor's leftovers or whatever. And I would completely understand that perspective. But at the same time, Harrison Ford's also getting a little bit older and there's only so many opportunities to join the MCU as an 80-year-old man or whatever.
True. Very true.
So what I'd initially heard was that this was a done deal for D23.
Wow.
That they actually wanted to announce him as a cast member in Thunderbolts at D23, but that they didn't because Kathy Kennedy put her foot down and said, no, we're going to keep the focus on Indiana Jones 5. I don't want this to become Harrison Ford joining the MCU. We're going to keep the focus on Indy 5 for now.
Okay.
So that, I think, is where it stands.
Wow.
Marvel has said Harrison Ford's not in the movie, but do I think that they want Harrison Ford in the movie or that they wanted him? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense. He's one of the biggest movie stars ever. Like, why wouldn't you want him in the MCU and that kind of thing? So let's just say, John.
Yeah.
Let's go with first the scenario that he, you know, it is early. They're trying to make a deal. He's going to be in it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it would be great because, you know, when the cast was announced, I saw people falling all over themselves trying to drum up excitement for this cast. But the entire cast is character actors and ensemble actors aside from Florence Pugh, right? I mean, even Sebastian Stan, David Harbour, Even Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is not a known commodity on screen and films, and the rest of the other actors, you know, Olga Kurylenko, these are in essence ensemble to character actors. They're not necessarily leads on screen, proven leads other than Florence Pugh. So adding someone like Harrison Ford coming in, there is a great gravitas, a great strength, a great grounding energy to be the person who takes over for William Hurt, because William Hurt wasn't going to be putting butts in seats either. Harrison Ford puts butts in seats still, and I think that would have been a great combination of Harrison and Marvel. I also understand why Kathleen Kennedy made this decision, because Indiana Jones, that last one, really did not make people happy, and then there's been a lot of criticisms about this one coming in, even with James Mangold critiquing it. So it's on much more unstable ground as opposed to Marvel. They don't need Harrison Ford to stabilize Marvel. They certainly need Harrison Ford to stabilize Indiana Jones. So I understand her holding off on this. That being said, it also makes a lot of sense for them to consider him for this particular role. And nobody would have an issue with Harrison Ford stepping into the William Hurt role at all.
Right. So now let's say Harrison Ford, either they did offer it to him, but he turned it down, or maybe they were like, I don't think that this is the case, but like, oh, maybe he's too expensive. We can't get Harrison Ford. For
sure.
We like Thunderbolts. We can't break
his quotes too high.
Yeah. So now at least we know though that they are going to recast General Ross, right?
Right.
So who would you like to play him if it's not Harrison Ford?
Who is still out there that is a contemporary of William Hurt and Harrison Ford, who was big in the 1980s, who's still working nowadays? I don't know if a lot of people leap to mind. Nick Nolte comes to mind, although I think he's a bit unstable and he was already in the other Hulk movie. Which
not a bad choice, but okay.
It could work. I mean, it could work if you're going to go the Red Hulk route with Thunderbolt Ross. Having Nolte, who'd already been somewhat of a Hulk in the Eric Bana film, there's possibilities that you can play with there, but he's about the only one I can think of right off the bat who's a contemporary. I mean, Gibson, if you want to take a chance on Mel Gibson could be really interesting stepping into that role. Great way to redeem him. Disney would take shit for it, but what the fuck? Half the country wouldn't give a shit, or more than half the country wouldn't give a shit. So I just find that. What about you? What do you got in your mind?
Oh, so I'm already seeing some interesting.
Yeah.
They're stealing my suggestions here. The first one that I have on my list was Stephen Lang. He is the villain in the biggest movie ever. And if he's good enough for James Cameron, he's good enough for Marvel.
Right? I love Stephen Lang. Don't get me wrong. But Stephen Lang ain't putting butts in seats. Yes, he's the villain in that movie. But that movie is sold on the Navi. On...
I'm not talking about Avatar, but look at Don't Breathe.
Sure.
I mean, this is a horror franchise that he had.
I've loved Stephen Lang since Crime Story, motherfucker. So I got no problem with Stephen Lang, but he doesn't have the cachet that Harrison or even William Hurt
has. There's only so many 80-year-old actors that
That's
do.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
I really don't think there are any that have box office cachet, but you're not relying on that for Marvel. I think that, you know, some risky ones, some people mentioned Sam Elliott.
Yeah, because he was Thunderbolt already. Yeah.
I think Alec Baldwin could be interesting. Obviously very risky, but are you telling me he wouldn't do a good job?
I would be shocked if he did it. I would be shocked if they offered it to him, especially now when it looks like charges might be on the horizon for him from that New Mexico situation with Rust is what we're seeing. Ed Harris? Ooh, Ed Harris would be a nice choice. That's a great choice.
There's actually one other who I think would be really fun. I don't know if he's a little too young for the role, because I'm not sure how old they really want, you know, General Ross to be. But the person who would drive fans, I think, bonkers is Nick Cage.
Oh, Nick Cage would be an interesting choice. I like that idea, actually. We've seen Nick obviously have a lot of reverence for comic book property, so he would be a fantastic choice to step in and do that. I like some of these other. Costner is just a no-brainer. I mean, considering his ascension with Yellowstone, the thing is, if you cast Costner, he's going to go into that script and rewrite that script to give him more scenes, to give him more of an impetus to be in the movie and to make it even more about him than it was before. So just know that with Kevin, he does not step into a script and go, you know what, make me a side character. It would definitely be him rewriting that whole thing for sure.
So anyway, so that's the Thunderbolts rumor, right? Yeah. It's the Harrison Ford of it all. We already dealt with, like, I mean, is there anything more that you want to say about Blade? I guess it's, yeah, like, who do we think is going to direct? Is there someone?
No. We got to talk about what your tweets were. Is this true? The 90-page script. Is this true? There were only two action scenes, which a lot of people were talking about. We talked about it yesterday on the Geek Buddies, giving you full credit for your story, your tweets here. And we talked about this idea that Kevin Feige, the rumors are going around that he might be spread too thin. And Michael countered on the Geek Buddies, because Mike's being an executive at Hasbro, being executive involved in some IP stuff. Like, it's not about him being spread too thin. It's that when you are doing so many projects, you have to really trust the director to put things in motion, put things on the schedule, get things going, get the star happy, because there's rumors Mahershala Ali wasn't happy with the slowing down of the process. So it was a matter of the director really not being able to handle the amount that was asked of him to do, and maybe it just wasn't working out. What is your sense of what happened here?
I mean, you know, Bassam Tariq, what did he do? Mowgli?
Yeah, right? Mowgli.
Ahmed, you know, that was a good movie, but, like, it doesn't really have any experience working with visual effects, as far as I know. Like, yeah, that's Marvel's whole thing. They take these directors who are good filmmakers, and they can tell a good story, but they don't really have the experience for something of this budget or scope. And so a lot of them kind of find themselves in a little bit over their heads. And that's what I have heard with regard to Mr. Tariq.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was just like, you know, bit off a little bit more than he could chew.
Which happens.
But, you know, a lot of it is the script. I don't know why you wouldn't go big with Blade, because it is a well known character and you do have a 2-time Oscar winner attached to play him. But I never got the sense that this was like a big $150 million movie.
Right.
It almost feels like Marvel is taking a play cue from like Sony's playbook. And was trying to do something along the lines of a Venom or a Morbius,
where 90-minute one,
75 to 90 million, you know, because people are still going to turn out because it's Marvel, right? So we don't even need to go that big with this. We'll save that money for the Avengers sequels that we announced. You know, 90 pages is a lightweight script, right? Exactly, for these Marvel movies, which are routinely 2.5 hours. You know, the reports of only 2 major action sequences, which were, you know, a little lackluster. You know, that's, people are coming to see those action sequences. So I think Kevin is spread too thin. I just don't see how it's possible that he's not.
Yeah.
I think you're right. When you're, you know, as a producer, a lot of it is about delegating. You have to delegate to your directors. And if they aren't up to the task, then. Anyway, it sounds like production's moving to January a little bit. I don't know if you'll see the actual release date delayed or anything.
Here are the names that pop into my head. Nia DaCosta, because of what she did with Candyman, which I really liked.
Well, what did she do with Candyman? That was not a good movie, but go ahead.
I like that movie. Okay, fine. What about Lee Winnell, who hasn't done anything since 2018, and Upgrade was a fucking awesome movie. And I know you're getting a white director to cast, you know, to be involved in this. I think that would be a tough sell for a lot of people, especially where Disney's
going. Why can't we have a white director making this movie? Why?
I'm just saying, it would be a tough sell. Guillermo del Toro, is he done with the Pinocchio shit? Can he make this move into this? It would be great. I mean, that's a great... I mean, you're going to bring back Sam Raimi. Bring back Guillermo to direct the third installment. Why not?
I guess, but like, he already did Blade. I don't know. I want to see somebody else take a stab at it.
David, what is David Leitch doing right now? Is there a possible... I mean, the John Wick 4 stuff is done. Isn't that possible? What do you got? What about in your mind?
Ooh. Oh, I really haven't thought about who should come in to replace him.
I love this. Shaka King from Judas and the Black Messiah. Fuck yeah. I'm down with that. I love that movie.
That's not a bad call at all. Yeah, and I don't really know what the hell he's working on. I off the top of my head, I don't know that I really have a list ready for that one.
Yeah. Guillermo will want $1 billion to make it, probably. We'll be right back with a hot mic right after this.
You know, here's more Marvel stuff. I'm just going to throw out all of the rumors. Like, please. When do you start to hear about casting on that Agatha show? Because rumors have been flying for months about Amy Poehler, Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
You know, I think if they really want to lean on the comedy aspect of that, you know, with Catherine Hahn front and center. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of rumors out there right now. We'll see what shakes out.
The thing you just mentioned, I mean, that sounds to me like Hocus Pocus 3. I don't want to see that. I want to see a little more variety. I don't want to see the grand dames of comedy coming in this thing. You got to keep it young. Keep it young. Keep it edgy. You can have elements of that, but you've also got to start looking at younger people to come in on this as well and have some fun. I love Poehler. And I love Catherine O'Hara to pieces, but also, you know, you got to cast other people as well, I think, to keep it fresh and young. That was what one of the things that worked with WandaVision so well, is you had so many different characters of different ages and different approaches to kind of connect to and what they were going through in the show.
I mean, I don't think it would just be those three people on the show. I'm sure
those are three you threw out. So, but, yeah. Ooh, Gareth Evans would be a great choice as well, considering what he did with the Raid movies. And I liked Gangs of London, so Gareth Evans would be interesting.
Cool. Yeah. And you know, he must be wrapping up post on his Tom Hardy Netflix movie Havoc. That's one I can't wait for. That's going to be really awesome.
Okay.
So we can move on from Marvel now. I just, again, was shocked that because I'm a freelance journalist, that I'd be penalized for not, like, you know, if Boris loses that story, he doesn't lose money. That doesn't take, you know, food off his family's table. Not that that's an excuse to give me the story because I'm a freelance journalist, but it's just like, I don't know. It felt very, if I was a freelance journalist, you know, I would just be pissed at Marvel if they're going to treat you like a second-class citizen because, you know, I don't have a fucking health insurance. I pay for my own health insurance. So now I'm an asshole because of that?
Well, welcome to the game, Jeff. Some of us have been here for a couple of years. Yeah. This is how it works, man. Yeah, exactly. They really don't care about you unless you've got an outlet stamped on your ass or you've got strong connections with a publicist.
Or you've got information that I can use on a podcast, and next time you'll answer the fucking phone and you'll respond to me. Simple as that.
We're definitely going to be clipping out this and putting it as a separate video for
sure. Make sure to do it. I do not give a shit if I burn the bridge, John. Because you know what? I haven't been invited to premieres. I didn't get no fucking Mighty Ducks screeners. I don't know what Disney's doing for me. I don't get no Hulu screeners. I don't know what this company is doing for me when I do for it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And promotion. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll jump into some more topics right after this. I got to start doing that for the podcast. It helps me out with the time code, so I'm not hunting the whole fucking time. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us being on iHeartRadio. That's what it is. And for those of you listening right now, we've got 175 of you watching. There's going to be more watching and listening later. The Hot Mic is on its separate podcast stream. Go and find it, The Hot Mic. Subscribe to it. Jeff and I will definitely be doing some extra content, maybe some extra 10, 15, 20 minutes every week or a couple times a week on stories to get you guys to subscribe to it so we can get more people involved in it and get advertisers getting behind it as well. So, all right, Jeff, let's move on to the next thing. What do you feel like talking about next, my man?
Let's talk about that Star Trek shit because, guys, the Star Trek shit is not – it's not happening. It's never happening. It never was happening. Deadline can do a million development stories. All it takes is a brain in your head. Yeah. Use your fucking brain and think about it, and it makes no sense. Why would they make a movie like that?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Why would they make a movie like
that?
I mean,
Star Trek 4, John.
Yeah, the cast that was coming back to be a part of this thing, all the main cast, Chris Pine, Quinto, Zoe Saldana. I just find this whole process to be so confusing because they've really got it going on the TV side. Whether you like the shows or not, they're getting a lot of publicity. Strange New Worlds is fucking excellent. Picard, I could take or leave. But certainly Discovery, there's a lot of people behind Discovery. People like Prodigy. So there's Lower Decks is certainly a lot of people's favorite cup of tea for Star Trek. So they're doing that so well. How are they fumbling the ball so colossally on the screen side, on the theatrical side of things? Because this is a fantastic cast. Then they do that announcement and Chris Pine comes out and goes, I didn't know we were all signed up for this shit. Like, this is crazy how they're messing this whole rollout up. And now you've lost, what, two or three directors since you started going down this road and Tarantino's whatever that was going to be with that little tangent. You lost S.J. Clarkson. And now Matt Shankman takes off a few months ago because he saw the Fantastic Four situation, which is like Theo Epstein taking over the Cubs as more stable than handling the Star Trek situation with this movie. So I wonder if you're right. I wonder now if we're never going to get it again and we're just going to move on and maybe Strange New Worlds transfers over and becomes that theatrical thing they go with. I don't know.
No. Right out there. No, they didn't know, John. Strange New what? No. Listen. Yeah. Star Trek IV died with Anton Yelchin. Okay.
Wow. You know,
I don't understand how you can even fucking move forward after that, given how the third film performed. Like, if the third film is a big hit, then I get it. Maybe you can move on and recast Anton's role or whatever. But, like, it did not do well. It fucking bombed.
It just didn't do well. And it wasn't well received from a significant number of the Star Trek fans.
Yeah. All I remember is them being in space flipping on the Beastie Boys. And it's like, what the fuck is happening?
For the second time in that Star Trek franchise, yes.
Chris Pine, not a movie star. Not a movie star. Don't Worry, Darling didn't open to 20 million.
It opened to 19. You're splitting hairs. It opened to 19.
Come on. Split hairs all I want. 20 is the fucking bar. And if you can't open a movie to $20 million these days, you're not a fucking movie star.
Well, it's not even his movie. It was Florence's movie. He's an ensemble cast.
Wait, what you want to do? We want to go down the road of Chris Pine's recent vehicles?
That's fair. That's totally fair.
And some of these other things. Like, Chris Pine, like Brad Pitt, in a way. I know Brad Pitt is a big movie star. Chris Pine is a much better character actor.
Yeah. All right. Fair.
Like he just, and him and Quinto are both great in Star Trek. But like,
yes.
Why was Zach Quinto cast as Spock? Because he was on Heroes.
Heroes.
Right. He was a big Siler in Heroes. Heroes was a long fucking time ago, guys.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to see Chris Pine and Zach Quinto anymore.
Yeah, I think Quinto, I mean, that A24, that Nas A20, whatever that show is that was on AMC Plus, that thing died within two seasons. And yeah, Quinto doesn't put too many butts in seats, doesn't sell too many people. He hasn't really had the great post-Star Trek career. Chris Pine is a name. People know Chris Pine. They respect Chris Pine. Quinto not there. Zoe Saldana has really blown up. Carl Urban with The Boys.
Carl Urban is the biggest thing they have going for it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and Simon Pegg has established himself as kind of the Patton Oswalt, another Patton Oswalt in the nerd sphere, that he pops up in certain things, but he's involved in other things, ghostwriting things. So he's very much success. So, but Quinto seems like, from the perception, that there's not much going on Quinto's side of things. So, yeah, it'd be odd to be able to sell him as the Spock, but he works within the universe they've created.
They have chemistry, that cast. It's not about that. It's just like, this crew had their fucking run. They did their three movies.
Right.
Let's move on. What are we trying to do? The only reason you even do a Star Trek 4 is really if you got Hemsworth, right?
Yeah, right. Come back and play.
At that point, it's just like, fucking reboot it. So all the Tarantino stuff, that was never happening.
Never happening.
None of it. Like, I'm telling you, there are things that Deadline or reporters and sort of latch on to, and they're always checking in on, like, me and my crow scoops. I'm telling you, if I didn't love the crow as much as I did, there wouldn't have been 10 years of development of crow stories, right? But every little thing, it was because I cared about it and I was on top of it. And Star Trek must be that for Fleming or something, because I've never seen someone write so much about a movie that is so obviously not going to get made.
Yeah, it seems like a very, very, very long way from possibly getting made, if at all, for sure. Let's hit some of these Streamlabs real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, we got 175 in here of you in here. Jeff is dropping scoops like crazy, and you guys aren't sending in Streamlabs and Super Chats as a thank you, as an appreciation for what's happening. So come on, shake that pocketbook open, send in your Streamlabs, send in your Super Chats. It's pinned in the chat. It's in the description of this video. It's up there on the screen. Send in your support. David_Dradnow says, hello, gents. I want to ask Jeff what he would say to John to convince him to watch Mighty Ducks Game Changers. I agree, Jeff. It's charming. Do you think we'd ever get Joshua Jackson on to reprise his role as Charlie? Thanks for the great conversation. There's nothing he could say.
Really?
No. I was too old for it. It never caught the magic for me like it did for you 90s kids. And so it's just like, for me, it's the time has passed. I can't talk you into 80s stuff, so you can't definitely talk me into 90s stuff. There's stuff, you just passed,
And that's totally fair. I get it. Yeah. But the Mighty Ducks came around for me when I was, 7 or 8 years old?
Exactly.
And this show is just so delightful. The kids that they found for the show are so charming.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought I'd be sitting here praising Lauren Graham. I wasn't a Gilmore Girls guy, but
I love Gilmore Girls. That's a good show.
Wonderful. Josh Duhamel, I'm here paying a compliment to Josh Duhamel.
His post Fergie work, I think he's been damn good. His post Fergie work. So shout out to Josh Duhamel.
Fergie for Josh.
All right, there's 184 of you watching right now. Please hit that like button as we go along. And no, Calvin, you don't have to send money. I'm asking you to send support as appreciation. God forbid. Let's see here. Owen Landon
show without it.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't do the show without it, Calvin. I hope you understand that. And I get that payday is Friday. I get it, boy, ladies and gentlemen. I get it. Let's hit some more of a couple of these. Peter Beller says, give me Spidey news, Jeff. Is there any Spidey news that you can break going on with Spider-Man or anything going on there in that universe? No? All right. Nothing to break there. Owen Lansing says, I always enjoyed Evan Peters in American Horror Story, and he is by far the best Quicksilver. But between Mare of Easttown and Dahmer, the dude has gone to a completely different level. As Jeff has been so eloquent about, that is not my show, but certainly it's getting a lot of love and a lot of buzz and some controversy surrounding, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Jeff, thoughts on that show? Jeff, on Evan Peters as an actor, is he going next level?
Yeah, I think you're right that he was sort of just part of like the Ryan Murphy troupe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he has really distinguished himself in recent years between Mare and Dahmer, in which he's, you know, pretty fantastic, I think. And don't forget American Animals, which a lot of people did you see that?
I did see it because of your recommendation. Yeah, not my cup of tea, but he was good in it. Yeah.
I thought it was great, and he was very, very good in it. So I just really like his energy, and I am excited to see where his career takes him.
Okay. All right. I like that, too. Well, let's jump into that, Jeff. Let's take a quick break. We'll jump into it. All right. So the Dahmer story is really interesting because you have been you've been singing the praises of this series, and people have certainly been reacting to it criticism-wise in a very, very positive fashion. The numbers are pretty high. The view numbers on it that they've talked about for Dahmer are pretty high. But now Netflix has been asked to remove the LGBTQ tag from Dahmer, and they have done so. And they didn't issue a statement. They just did it, and some bloggers were pressuring them to do so, and so it has gotten done. What is your feeling about this overall?
Well, you know, I saw that Netflix was pressured into removing the LGBTQ tag.
Yes.
You know, they tagged it as such because Jeffrey Dahmer was gay. And I know that, you know, there was some backlash to that. And like, this is not the kind of representation that we want or need. And it's like, you know what? I'm just so sick of it. Like, you can't start picking and choosing facts. People are curating their fucking reality these days. This dude was gay.
Yes.
He's a gay serial killer. Like, gay people can be serial killers. They can be everything that straight people can be. Like, that is what equality is. It's for the good shit and for the bad shit. So it's just like denying their fucking reality when they're saying, oh, this isn't, you know, we don't claim him as one of our own. Like, you don't get to claim people as one of your own. They just are. What the fuck?
All right. So I'm going to push back a little bit on this to give you some context. And the thing is, we're not there yet where it's equal, where there's a reason there's an LGBTQ tag on stuff, because those projects are so rare. There aren't anywhere near the amount of projects that there are on the straight side of things. So if this whole idea is to make sure we don't, it's about uplifting this content, uplifting this stuff, identifying him as gay does not help the people who already have built-in stereotypes and feelings about homosexuality and people who are gay. It doesn't help to elevate or promote and certainly have respect for that sexual orientation that has been so vilified for so many years in this country and this world. So,
that uplift and elevate. I don't like, this is a massive gay story. Forget about Jeff Dahmer's own sexuality, but just like the fact that, you know, basically the reason Jeff Dahmer was able to operate as long as he did is that the police didn't care about his victims.
Yeah. Right.
They were gay or black, but both. Gayness is like intertwined with the Dahmer story.
Let me ask you something. If they put Passion of the Christ under the Jewish moniker, would you be okay with that?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Is Passion of Christ a Jewish film, you're saying?
Yes, what I'm saying, because it got vilified by the Jewish community, saying they turned the Pharisees into stereotypical looking Jews. That wouldn't be good.
I get what you're saying, where it's like, how do you call the Passion of the Christ a Jewish film just because its lead character is Jewish?
Right.
I get that.
And the way it portrays Jewish people or Pharisees that are Jewish people in the film.
No, I wouldn't care about that.
Okay.
So much. I just doesn't sit well with me, where I feel like people are like, just curating their reality, and we only want the good, and we reject the bad, and that's not us. It's like, but it is. Sorry.
Well, I mean, would we say every serial killer is straight? Is that a thing? I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. Indication on straight people? I don't know.
It's a straight tag, or you know, there is no straight tag. But if there was, you wouldn't slap the straight tag on everything. These silly controversies, and given what Netflix has stood up to in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
And from what I understand, it was like, I know that I'm sure there were multiple people, but you know, Variety quoted like one TikTok user. I didn't see a petition. You know,
we'll be right back with a hot mic right after this.
All right, let's move on to a tribute here for Coolio, man. Coolio yesterday. We lost Coolio. Sadly, he passed away at 59 years old. Of course, you guys know him from Gangsta's Paradise, Fantastic Voyage, and a bunch of other great rap songs that he did back in the 1990s and into the 2000s. He died at the Los Angeles home of his friend and longtime manager, Jairus Posey. The cause, though, was not immediately clear. He won a Grammy for Best Solo Rap Performance for Gangsta's Paradise, which, of course, was from the Dangerous Minds film. It's so fast. And then it launched this battle between him and Weird Al down the road, when Weird Al did a version of it, a parody version called Amish Paradise. And he didn't get the permission from Coolio to do it. He'd got it from the people who own the song. And so it became a thing. But Weird Al, ever magnanimous, him and Coolio kind of squashed the beef. And then Coolio tweeted or spoke about it. And then Weird Al tweeted out a great remembrance for him yesterday as well. So, you know, this guy, he's from Pennsylvania. The name of him, his nickname Coolio, came from the fact that there's rumors that his friends caught him listening to Julio Iglesias or Jose Feliciano. So they called him Coolio Iglesias, and the name stuck. So, Jeff, what's your thoughts when you think about Coolio and, you know, his impact on the rap world, but also on music?
I mean, when I think back on Coolio, it really just takes me back to sixth grade. So in sixth grade, my entire grade, they were redoing the middle school. I went to sixth grade at Northeastern University.
Yeah, I would say Northeastern. You don't strike me as a Northwestern guy. Go
ahead. Yeah. Northeastern University. Anyways, the entire sixth grade, that's where our classes were.
Right.
And I just remember sitting around the track, and everyone in my grade was singing Gangsta's Paradise together.
Right.
In fact, when I went to my college roommate's wedding last month on the bus, you know, getting from the wedding to the party or whatever it was, everybody was, you know, singing 90 songs and stuff like that.
I
quieted the bus for a second, and I was like, I got one for you. And I put on Gangsta's Paradise. Now, it didn't go over as well as I thought that it would.
Yes.
I felt like it was a song that everybody knew the words to, and that wasn't maybe the case. But that is – I love that fucking song. I associate him with the rolling with the homies bit.
Queens,
you know?
Right.
Homies was a big one. So, and like – he was a rapper who had like a kind of positive message, right? He wasn't talking about bitches and hoes and all that kind of shit. I respect what Coolio brought to the world. I don't think anyone has him on their list of the greatest rappers of all time, but like, you know, he'll be missed, and 59 is way too young.
I agree. And he was doing it since he was 15 years old. So, you know, he put his time in. He wasn't one of these guys that just found randomly who did some stuff. Like, he had put in his time, built in his, did the work, and then found success as he did, and stayed, as you said, one of those people that people always just kind of had good feeling about. So it's sad to see him pass before he even crossed the age of 60. That's such a shame here. But we wish him well in his fantastic journey, fantastic voyage, shall we say, and certainly send our condolences to his family. Let's hit some Streamlabs here. Jeff, Mike Joyce said, Rings of Power gave my new favorite idiom last week. Give me the meat and give it to me raw. What's a phrase from a recent movie or TV show that has stuck with you?
What's a phrase that has stuck with me?
I got one for you right now. I just finished watching the new documentary on Sinead O'Connor that comes out on Showtime tomorrow. It's fucking fantastic. And she has a line in the doc where she says, they tried to bury me, but they didn't realize that I was a seed. And that is a fucking awesome line. And so that is now staying with me in my head for the rest of my life. What have you got?
I don't have one.
All right. And Sucked says, hey, y'all, I saw Blonde and it was as gratuitous as people made it seem, which was good. What did you think of it? And also, Jeff, do you think they will drop Blade eventually and recast at some other point years later? Ooh.
What? Do I think that they'll like just the movie will be dead and then?
Yeah. They'll like stop the like halt production on the movie and just kind of move on and revisit it later.
No, I think if you have Mahershala Ali, you go and make the movie. Plus, he's hung in there with them for years.
Yeah.
So I don't see that necessarily happening.
Okay. And what about did you see Blonde? Thoughts on Blonde?
I'm halfway through Blonde. I mean, tough sit, dude.
Dude, I'm in 3 days into watching that movie. I thought I was going to have a review out today, and I'm like, I can't even finish this. I finished the Sinead O'Connor doc like that, but that Blonde film is, I'm either I'm too stupid, which is not true, or this film is just way the fuck on out there. And I'm a Terrence Malick guy. I love stream of consciousness filmmaking, but this is just, I don't know. This seems, I don't know where it's going. I don't know what it's trying to say. You know, I don't know.
sorry, what were we talking about?
Blonde, man, Blonde.
Yes, right. God, just a slog. It's the kind of movie where you need to go see it in the theater so they can lock you in the theater.
You can't leave. Yeah, good point.
Right, because to watch it at home with distractions and I'm folding laundry, I'm doing this and that, I'm never going to get through this fucking movie.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Let's take a quick break and we'll jump into some Oprah Apple situation here. All right, Jeff, there's some big stuff going on here. Oprah Winfrey and Apple have parted ways on their deal that they signed back in June of 2018. She created some shows for Apple TV Plus, The Me You Can't See, The Oprah Conversation, Oprah's Book Club, Oprah Talks COVID-19, just making sure Oprah is in the first section there on most of those shows. But the interview with the Royals she did on CBS and the Adele special she did outside of Apple TV Plus, and the reporting here from Puck saying that Apple TV Plus programmers Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich probably would have loved to have the Royals interview, and this person has heard rumblings that they are disappointed with Oprah's output for the streamer, but that's the deal they made. This seems logical, doesn't it? I mean, if you're not happy with the content that they're producing, and it certainly seems like Oprah was doing like important stuff, but not really stuff that was going to grab eyes. And she saved the big stuff for bigger networks like CBS and what have you, because she was still doing projects outside of this. This makes sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, does it ring a bell? Does it remind you of anybody? Someone by the name of Mr. J.J. Abrams?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, these people just take these fat checks from studios, mm-hmm. you know, and then they're like, bye. Yeah. We'll do some stuff. We'll do some stuff down the line. I got to go do this Star Wars movie over for Disney, though. You know, I got to go interview Meghan and Harry, but not for you guys, for CBS. Right. I know you're paying me a lot of money, but I got to go do it over here. Like, what? This came out of basically the Apple Slate story that I've been reporting for like the last month for The Ankler, which finally came this week. We got our hands on the list of like the overall deals that they have and the first look deals. And Oprah isn't there. Now, Oprah didn't have technically any deal. She had a multi-year partnership.
Yes.
Overall deal or a first look deal.
And she was allowed to go do stuff at other places.
Right. It's just a matter of, well, what are we really getting for our money? If all the cream of the crop good shit is going to CBS, interview, whatever it is. And then we're getting, you know, Oprah's mental health special and things like that. That the Oprah diehards will absolutely watch and tune in for, but aren't really like, you know, expanding her audience and bringing in those people who wouldn't normally watch it. So not surprised that Apple didn't renew things. Obviously there was also a lot of tension surrounding the Russell Simmons documentary on the record, right? Yeah. Because, you know, basically Oprah was pressured into taking her name off that as executive producer. Right. And then, you know, Apple's like, well, now we've lost Oprah as an executive producer. There's going to be all these questions about credibility and all this shit. Now we have to just wash our hands of it. And ended up on HBO Max and it got great reviews. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that clearly put a strain on the relationship as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, I do understand it. Like, you know, Apple got its money's worth in a sense, maybe not in terms of content, but in terms of publicity.
Yeah.
He was at that big launch event in Cupertino, and it's like, look, we've got Spielberg and Oprah, and it's like, yeah, but Spielberg's doing amazing stories, and Oprah's doing a mental health special. Like, and that's Apple's whole thing, is that it's not about, we're not investing in content here, we're investing in people and stars and celebrities, and hopefully, you know, you'll just subscribe to our platform to see those people.
Do you think this is a, do you think this is just kind of the right move for both sides? It seems like, it just makes more sense.
They're still going to do projects on a case-by-case basis and everything. Yeah. But yeah, now they just don't have to like pay her a fuckload of money for the privilege. And yeah, it gives her a little bit more flexibility. And, you know, I think that this is probably a good thing all around.
Yeah. And I think you're 100% right. I think Oprah is fine to be in this position. Be like, yeah, this is what I did for you. You took advantage of my brand name to launch your streaming service. So I've more than paid, or you've more than gotten your money's worth for what I gave you. In her mind, I imagine this is how she perceives it. I gave you four shows to kind of expand what Apple TV, or what Apple Plus was all about. Right. And now, if you don't want to continue, fine. We'll just do it on a case-by-case basis. And then I'm free to keep doing more stuff. So, you know, it's a smart move for her.
And I do think that David Zaslav at Warner Brothers Discovery will make a big play for her.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think she's still relevant at that level? Do you really think she's still relevant at that level?
It's a good question. Yeah. I don't think that Oprah is what she once was, particularly, you know, with just younger audiences. Like, you know, they didn't rush home at 3 or 4 o'clock to watch the Oprah show like my mom did or whatever.
Right. Right.
But you know, she'll always have that sort of cultural cachet. She's
definitely
the true global superstars out there. And yeah, she'll command top dollar on the open market.
I just think with Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil, her credibility has taken some hits recently with all this stuff. So I don't know. We'll see. But she
produces their shows? Or
yeah, something? Yeah, yeah. She gave them the platform to launch their shows.
And maybe that's true, but it's also like those guys are such dopes that they almost like make her look better in comparison. Even though her name, she's responsible for them, you know, it almost proves why she is who she is.
Let's take a quick break with Rebecca for a couple more stories, and we got to get on out of here. Brother, we got to talk about this one. We got to talk about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This dropped. I know you mentioned it earlier, but let's talk about it. We've got this from Hollywood Reporter. They've confirmed the cast for the newly titled Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. The film from director Wes Ball stars Owen Teague and newly announced cast members Freya Allen and Peter Macon. This is slated for a 2024 release here. So Planet of the Apes is one of the most iconic and storied science fiction franchises, says Steve Esbel, who's the president of the film studio there, as well as being an incredible part of our studio's legacy. With Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, we were privileged to continue the series tradition of imaginative, thought-provoking cinema. I can't wait to share Wes's extraordinary vision. So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, we got some artwork that I just put up there. Is this a good thing? Do we need to go back to the Apes franchise? Is it still, that last installment didn't make as much money as the second or first installment. So do we think it's still viable?
I thought that Apes trilogy was excellent.
Okay.
I really loved what Matt Reeves did with the sequels. I know this isn't Matt Reeves and it's going to be a little bit different. The cast, I like Owen Teague. I don't watch The Witcher, so I'm not familiar with Frey Allen or anything. Okay. You know, title seems interesting. I mean, the Kingdom of the Planet. There's only so many ways to say the Planet of the Apes. There's the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Well, it's the Kingdom of the Planet, the galaxy of the Kingdom of the Planet of the Universe of the Apes. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, in the scheme of, you know, blockbuster franchises and IP tentpoles and all that shit, like, yeah, this is probably one of the better ones.
Okay, yeah. And relatively new actress Freya Allen, been working only for a few years, so shout out to her, and of course, Peter Macon, a stalwart on the Orville, for those who watch the Orville.
Oh, Owen Teague, I like him as an actor, but like, he's like kind of like, he's like a character actor too. Like, I'm surprised, like, you know, if they could go back, would they hire Jeremy Allen White from The Bear? Like, he's very hot right now.
Oh, yeah, good point. Jeremy Allen White would be an interesting choice for sure.
He doesn't have that kind of heat, even though I do respect him as an actor.
Wow. Holy shit, Brandon, coming in hard. Thank you, Brandon. One day when we get a new Superman and to prevent burnout on the same story, would it work if his story changed to him being born a human and his powers developed over time with Krypton being the seed that gave life to Earth and human beings? Maybe the alien factor has run its course. Fascinating question, Brandon. Jeff, you're challenged by this question. You're not really a big comic book guy, but philosophy-wise, a way to change this would really be controversially that Krypton was the seed for Earth and Krypton, which is why Clark got sent to Earth from Krypton. That's fascinating.
It's interesting. Part of me feels like, you know, being an alien is key to Superman's identity.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting maybe to see the opposite of that, where he is just a human of this Earth who is then, you know, has this great power, you know, thrust upon him.
Yeah.
But, you know, how would that make him different from so many other comic book heroes that we've seen, where, you know, whether it's Peter Parker who gets hit by a spider and now he has these powers. I don't know. I feel like that journey across the galaxy is part of Superman's story, but I'm talking out of my ass.
Well, I like it as a new approach, and I always enjoy new approaches into the Superman story because of what that that's why I like Zack Snyder's. It's the alien story, the illegal alien story. It is the immigrant story in America right through to the end there. The idea of mistrust, the idea of if they find you, the government's going to round you up, all these kinds of things, the fear in middle America, you know, the being unable to use certain talents that you have because then people are going to be intimidated by it. There's all of that there within that story throughout that version of it. So this could be interesting because, I mean, of course, we've heard from a number of prominent African-American intellectuals and scholars talking about the beginning of the Earth, that black men were possibly the first people on Earth and all of that. What would that be alluding to? What's the way you could, so if Kryptonians kind of take that spot where Kryptonians first people on Earth and then left, and then, you know, humans took over and they lived so long that they forgot that Kryptonians were, we could attach it to the pyramids, attach to all kinds of things. So there's a way to go about this that could be fascinating, interesting to explore the multiple tangents or avenues for sure. And I wonder if it could work, but it's a fascinating proposal, Brandon, for sure. And thank you very much for the very kind super chat. That's the way it should go. Let's take one last break and let's talk about Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds right after this.
We'll be right back with a hot mic right after this.
All right, Jeff, that first story took so much time. We've run out for these other stories. Maybe we'll do quick hits after we're done talking about this. But Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds dropping two videos back to back to promote Deadpool 3. What's your thoughts on Hugh Jackman stepping back in to play Wolverine? They addressed the Logan issues in the second video. And is this going to be a two-hander or is this a cameo thing like Professor X and Multiverse of Madness?
I feel like it has to be more than a cameo because you wouldn't go to the trouble of making these kinds of videos, making this kind of announcement for a cameo. I think if it was a cameo, they'd probably just let it be top secret. That kind of thing. So it does, it probably does feel like more of a two-hander. Again, with the multiverse, you know, is this a multiverse thing? Is this a timeline issue? Like where Deadpool 3 is just going to take place before Logan, which I guess didn't take place until 2029.
Yes.
I don't know. I love Logan. Does this cheapen it a little bit? I think that it does.
Okay.
But on the other hand, you know, this is just Hollywood, right? This is just the necessity, the whatever of franchise filmmaking and shit. So I think it's kind of like Deadpool 3 needed a hook. Yes. It needed a reason to exist, really.
Right.
And bringing back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine gives it that. It's a huge coup for the movie. Obviously, everybody loves Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Hugh Jackman, I know, was getting some Oscar buzz for The Son. Mm. And there's a lot of people who walked out of that movie thinking it was absolute dog shit and, you know, he better go back and play Wolverine again after something like that. Am I excited? Yeah, I guess I'm interested in it.
Okay.
But I kind of wish they just let him ride off.
I would imagine Hugh wouldn't come back unless he felt maybe there was something fun to explore, something different to explore with Wolverine, right? Because he's been in, what, like 9 to 12 of these fucking X-Men movies plus Logan. So he's done his bit for King and Country on the X-Men side of things. And it isn't like the X-Men continuity is that linear that it's untouchable, unbreakable. They've conveniently messed with the X-Men continuity, both in the films and in the comic books, whenever the fuck they felt like it. So for me, having him coming back, I think, as Jeff said really well, it is a hook. It is how you get people back. Just having Deadpool show up for the first time in under the Marvel banner at Disney is certainly interesting, but having Hugh Jackman come back, something that they've been pitching for a long time and teasing for, since the first Deadpool installment, and them and the story coming out years ago that, you know, they'd looked at the possibility of them on a road trip, and it sounds like that might be what they're going for, and we're going to possibly jumping multiple universes, could be very, very interesting. And remember, this is the film that I think is going to start Phase 6, and then Fantastic Four is right afterwards. And Krasinski, just to be a little shit-sister, tweeted out the video and said, are you talking about our movie? And so people are like, oh, shit, is he coming back as Reed Richards? So it's smart marketing, if nothing else. And in the end, it's going to be fun to see these two who have such easy chemistry on screen.
But it has to come before, obviously, the X-Men reboot. Like, you know, you don't want to – you want to let that – whoever plays that new Wolverine character, and I do believe that they will recast him.
Yeah.
Give him some space.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So yeah. This dropped just now. Justin Kroll, exclusive Lionsgate new movie revolving around Dennis Rodman's infamous 48 hours in Vegas during the NBA Finals may have found their guy, as Jonathan Majors is in talks to play Dennis Rodman. I don't think he's in talks to play the entire NBA there, Zeno. But yeah, thoughts on this, Jeff? Is this exciting to you that he's going to play Dennis Rodman? I think
I love it. I think that Rodman story could be really fun.
Oh, yeah,
like fun in like a Zola movie kind of way. Even though I didn't love Zola, I think it could really have that energy. And yeah. And Jonathan Majors, like I look at it. Do you see White Boy Rick?
Yeah, yeah.
I could see like that version of Jonathan Majors almost.
Yeah.
I can totally see him as Rodman. I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting ripped for Creed. If you've seen the pictures, he looks great as Creed. So slimming down but staying ripped for Rodman would be an interesting choice. Who's playing Jordan? Who's playing Hulk Hogan? Who's playing Bischoff? And who's playing Carmen Electra? So there's a lot of people involved in this that are also kind of like, who are you casting for these roles to play these characters? Because Hemsworth as Hogan is already a hell of a coup for casting. So how are you going to follow that up?
That's a different project.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying this version of Hogan, the NWO Hogan, that he's going to be at this time. You know,
I don't know the full Rodman in Vegas story got up to there. But,
And who's playing Phil Jackson? Who's playing Phil Jackson? Who's mad that he's gone there? And, of course, Scotty. So there's a lot of places to go with this situation for sure. All right. Do we want to do some quick hits before we get out of here? Or let's roll.
No, okay. I would like to. Yeah.
All right. Let's hit some things here that we put on the list. Into the Deep trailer about the creator there who unfortunately.
Did you watch it?
Huh?
Did you watch the trailer?
Yes. I watched it this morning before we did the show.
So this was a movie, and I had JTE over last weekend.
Nice.
He told me he had just seen this trailer, and I was like, wait, what? Because the movie had been shelved. The movie played Sundance almost 3 years ago. Netflix had the rights. Then they shelved it because, you know, the people involved in the making of the movie, some of the crew, the way that movie came to be is insane. They were making a movie about this guy, Peter. And then Peter went off and murdered someone.
Murdered a journalist in a submarine.
It's like they had they had just interviewed him an hour before he went on a submarine and murdered a journalist.
The
footage was like incredible. It was mind blowing. He's talking about murders essentially. Yeah. It's one thing to interview a psychopath in jail after he's been arrested and committed his crimes, but it's another to talk to someone who's about to go out and do something. So it was totally fascinating, and I'm glad that Netflix stuck with this one. It's clearly been re-edited. I think they took out the people who objected or whatever, but I can't wait to see the new cut, and I definitely recommend it to everybody because the story's fascinating.
There's a great documentary already on HBO Max about this.
That's a series. That's not a doc, that's a real series.
No, the series is there, but there's also a doc if you haven't watched that, Jeff. A doc about the woman, they interview the parents, all this kind of stuff. There's a documentary about her and about what happened and her, how she was as a journalist. Like, they cover everything. So it's about her life story and then what happens to her when she
gets in that. Now I'm going to check that out. I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, it's fantastic, dude. It's really, really good. The series is great as well with Pillow Asbeck
It's so good. I thought the series was it's slow. It's a slow burn, but that's what an investigation is.
Yep.
You know, it takes years. Bones and All trailer, I thought, looked really good.
Yeah.
You see that this morning?
Yes. Bones and All looks fantastic. Good. People hassle Chalamet sometimes, but I like Chalamet. I like the choices he makes. So I know he's pretty. I know he's young. I know he's skinny. I know he's white, but he's doing damn good work. So
I know he's young, skinny, and white.
I'm just saying, we've got enough of those. I like that he's doing great work.
A lot of talk about Apple. I mean, cannibals are very in right now. There's a lot of talk about Apple and whether it's going to splash the pot this season with an awards movie or not.
Okay.
Mike Fleming at Deadline last week reported that Emancipation was on pace for early December.
Yeah.
The Will Smith movie. Then there was, you know, some pushback around that. Then The Ankler came out with a report that it could be Napoleon, that Ridley mm-hmm. Scott is really trying to hustle to get that ready in time for the end of the year. Or they could sit on their hands and say, you know what, we're just going to take this season off, give Steven Spielberg, let him give him a free pass to the podium, and we'll come back strong next year with those two movies plus the Scorsese film.
Yeah.
I think that there's an opportunity for Apple to release a movie. It's just a matter of, well, do we really want to release a Will Smith movie so soon after the slap? Is the movie going to be dominated by that conversation? I think it's going to be dominated by it no matter when they put it out, even if they put it out 5 fucking years from now.
True.
You know, so to me, it's just like, get it over with. And if the movie is good and the performance is great, which it's supposed to be, that's all that the Academy should be judging it on. You know, mm-hmm. like I understand that we're all human and it's tough to, you know, leave that baggage out of the decision process or whatever. But, you know, you just want to see people judged on merit. So
it's really not that tough. It's a disagreement between two men. It's kick the fuck out of it. It's not that tough.
Exactly.
You know, your cousin slapped your other cousin one time at a fucking family event. Who gives a shit? Like, it's not that big of a deal anymore. Really, I understand the scope and when it happened. I get it. Of course. Great. People apologized. He took the punishment, moved on. That's what you're supposed to fucking do. Why don't you guys move the fuck on and let it go already? Because I'm sure I could explore what a lot of people who are complaining about this, their past, some of the shit they've pulled. It could be just as, you know, unsettling or whatever in their past. So just ridiculous, the kind of judgment that goes on with that
situation. We're all so invested in being traumatized, you know. We all so there was that. We talked about the Avatar thing.
Do you want to talk about Sasha Stone's art, or should we wait on that one for another time?
Yeah, no, we can, I think, hold off on that. Okay. Mexico just announced that Bardo is going to be its submission for the Oscars. And to me, it's just like, I wonder if Netflix, I wonder if Netflix, I got to wrap this show up.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Let's go.
I wonder if Netflix is influencing,
some of the foreign countries that are being, some of the entries from the foreign countries in award shows. Yeah. Okay.
So I got to wrap up.
Okay. All right. We got to get on out of here. Thank you guys so much for watching us here on the Hot Mic. We appreciate all the Streamlabs and the Super Chats. Jeff's got work to do for sure. So we appreciate it madly. And you guys are awesome. Jeff, where can they find you? Everything you got going on? Tell them.
TheAnkler.com, BTLnews.com, LAMag.com.
There you
go. A fun interview with Mark Ellis coming soon. Big piece on Mark Ellis.
Nice. Ellis is doing his live show there on December 3rd in LA. All right. Amsterdam News Channel. Well, come and follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, The Outlaw Nation on Twitch. All right. Y'all take care of yourselves. Be well. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new live episode of The Hot Mic. Peace.